Well, you can open your Bibles to Luke 18. We're in the book of Luke, but I took the liberty of skipping ahead a little bit here to look at topic of children amongst believers, children in our church services, children, what our attitude is about children. I would say that by and large today, the world's attitude about children is that they are maybe a hindrance, maybe a, you know, kind of a nuisance for a lot of cases. And they're, if you want them in your life, they're something that maybe you can have 1.8 of them or so. And, you know, you want just enough, you want not too many, and at the right time, and they're for us, you know, to fit into our life when we say so. And we have the ability to do that now with medicine, with pills, with all kinds of things. And it's not far of a jump from that, from seeing children as a, you know, kind of, not a blessing like the Bible says, but just something that you can have and something that's kind of for you. Not far of a jump from that to abortion and to any of those kind of things. And it's not far of a jump from that to, you know, with the elderly. You know, they're a nuisance. They're a drain on society. These are things you could hear from people with, you know, not the elderly themselves, but people that have no respect for their elders. And it's not a biblical view. And I want to look at the biblical view of children, and I think even churches can fall into this kind of trap as far as how churches can treat children. Jesus said, and we'll get and examine this passage later, but he said, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise." Jesus said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And we'll talk about that, but I titled this message, Out of the Mouth of Babes. And talking about the subject of children, especially children, how the church, how we as believers handle our children and treat our children. So we'll begin here in Luke 18. And we can see in verse 1, in verse 18, he's speaking a parable and about how men ought to always to pray and not to faint, kind of like we talked about last week. And he talks about the unjust judge. So he's just teaching, he's preaching, he's doing a parable. So I mean, people are listening and he's giving them truth. And he speaks that parable. Then he goes in verse 9 and he speaks another parable to those which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He gives the parable of the two men that went to pray, a Pharisee and just a publican. And so Jesus is in the middle of preaching. I mean, some great truths, some things that are new to people. He's speaking with power. Not as like the scribes and the Pharisees would preach, but he speaks as one that has authority, and he's preaching here in chapter 18. And right after that, right in the middle of this, we see in verse 15. That's where I want to begin. In verse 15, Jesus is preaching. He's teaching. And then in verse 15, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." In the middle of his preaching, they bring children, and he gives a little lesson then on what his view is of children. He says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Let's pray, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, please help us this morning as we study your word. Help us to have the right attitude about life from conception in the womb to birth, to those that are handicapped, to those that are not, you know, perfect in the world's eyes, to those that are elderly. Help us to have your view on life, not the world's view, but to know that all men and women are created in your image. And because they're created in your image, they have worth, infinite worth, Lord. Every soul is infinitely valuable. And Lord, help us to have that mindset when we look at all life, and that we take your mindset into our worldview. Help me this morning as I preach. Help us to learn and to grow today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we look at this, and some people, obviously probably their parents, brought these little children, and it says they were infants. That's a young child. An infant is a young child. I would think it's somebody like Kai, somebody who's not walking yet. He's not a toddler, an infant. So we're bringing little children here. And remember, Jesus is preaching powerful parables. I mean, he's calling out the Pharisee and saying the publican went to back, you know, justified rather than the Pharisee. I mean, these things are shocking things he's preaching. And in the middle of this, somebody brings young children, infants, up to Jesus that he would touch them. And we'll read other passages that will explain more of this. But look what his disciples do. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. They rebuked the parents. Get them out of here. You know, Jesus is preaching. Can't you see he's busy? Can't you see that the people are listening and this is a distraction? Get the children out of here. So you can see that their attitude about children was that they are a distraction, that they're not as important as the adults around that are listening, that, you know, the babies can't understand anyway. So just get them in the back and quiet them down, please, and let the people that can understand, let the adults, you know, listen in silence so that things are perfect around him. And so, you can see where the disciples were coming from. This is the Lord of the universe. He's preaching. He's not going to be with us forever. They didn't know how long, but I mean, every word you would hang on Jesus that he would say. We ought to hang on every word. But Jesus himself said no. He said, suffer the children to come unto me. And to suffer can mean, like we say, to suffer is to endure hardship. And I think it was a hardship, and it is a hardship for many people to have little children in the service. Praise the Lord, you guys, you know, we have children that are loud in Sunday school, and you're probably suffering, but you're suffering them, right? But it can also mean to just allow, you know. And so suffering, it's all kind of part in the same, but let the children come unto me. Even though he's in the middle of preaching, he said, let them come to me. He said, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. So Jesus gave a command to his disciples. He said, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Now, is that a command for us today to forbid children not to come unto Jesus? To forbid them not? I think it is. I mean, some people would say arguments why children shouldn't be, you know, allowed to be in a church service, or children should be not allowed to even say that they're believers until such and such a time when they've gone through such and such a class and they're at a such and such an age. I think, Nels, that's some of the case in some churches you've been in. That if a child of age 6 or 7, I mean, they know Jesus Christ and they want to be baptized, say, no, not until you're such and such an age. But Jesus here said, forbid them not. And an argument would be that, well, this was just, it was historical. This is actually what happened. This isn't a command for us. But I say this is a command for us. For such is the kingdom of God. You know, I think that's a truth. When Jesus preaches, it's the truth. And if it was wrong for the disciples to forbid the infants, the children, the toddlers, whoever it was to come, I think it's wrong for us. Forbid them not to come unto them, to come unto Jesus Christ. And then he says, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And so in a way, well, not in a way, in truth, children are an example for us on how we must enter into the kingdom of God. And a child's faith is amazing. A child's faith is total and without question. And it's just, I think of our children, you know, at times when they just totally trust in God. It's just a matter of fact that God can answer that prayer. You know, that Satan is out there. That's of Satan. And it's none of these questions, none of these other things. That's what we must totally be. And just total trust in their Father in heaven. Total humility in their Father in heaven. So we must come as a child as well. Let's go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Going to look again at this. Here he was preaching here again in Matthew 19. I think it was another time that could have happened here. But let's see Matthew 19. And this time, we can see in verse 3, the Pharisees came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus is preaching on divorce, on putting a man putting away a wife and marriage. And these are important things. It's shocking things. In verse 10, you know, the disciples say unto him, if this is the case of the man, it's good not to marry. I mean, they're shocked by what he says, and they're like, then it's good just to not get married if that's the case. And so again, Jesus is in the middle of preaching something that's not just humdrum. This is a new thing. It's explaining God's intent in the law, except for the hardness of their hearts. And in verse 13, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And so in Luke, we saw that he was to touch them. Here, it's to put his hands on them to pray. He was laying hands on these children. And the disciples again rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Again, in the middle of preaching, I mean, these are important things, but Jesus felt like these children were important as well. Very important. Jesus had no attitude that they're of less importance than this group over here. All were important to Jesus Christ. Look in Mark chapter 10. And I think it's important in the Bible, in these Gospels, when you have these accounts and you have these same things, you can get different information, you can see different insights from the different authors, different things they saw, all inspired by God, but we can get a full picture of Jesus Christ and his teaching here. Mark chapter 10. Again, he's preaching on marriage here in Mark chapter 10. And we come to verse 13, and they brought young children to him. So we've seen infants, we've seen young children, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. So we see Jesus' attitude. Not only does he say, suffer them to come unto me, but this displeases Christ when his disciples rebuke those that brought little children. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So Jesus had time for children. This is authoritative passage. We must receive the kingdom of God as a little child to enter therein, and we must not forbid children to come unto Christ. We must not forbid children, I believe, to be baptized. What does hinder you from being baptized? The Bible says if you believe with all your heart, you may. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may be baptized. There's not an age, there's not a class, there's none of these things. Baptism took place immediately after somebody professed and confessed Jesus Christ, believed on him in their heart, confessed them with their mouth, Jesus Christ, they were baptized. And what I see is that Jesus says, forbid them not to come unto me, for me to touch them, forbid them not to come unto me even when I'm preaching. And in our churches, I say, children are not a distraction. Children are not a nuisance. Children are not unable to understand. Children are not unable to praise. We ought to not forbid children. And this church is a church that you have different names out there, but would be called a family integrated church. And that we don't have separate Sunday school classes. We don't have a nursery and a children's church and different things that the children would go during a service. And we're one group of believers. And that's not on accident. It's not because we can't find somebody that would staff a nursery. But it's because I think the Bible teaches that we should not forbid children to come. And my wife and I have been to churches that do forbid children to be parts of the congregation, be part of the service. There are stories, this hadn't happened to us, but of people that have actually been on vacation and gone to a church, and because they wouldn't send their child to children's church and wanted them to stay with them, they got kicked out of the church. I mean, that's strict on not having children in the service. And Ashley and I have been in churches where, you know, the ushers strongly encourage that babies are to be put down here. Children are to go here. And we said, well, we're fine, we'll keep them. And you get stares and you get angry looks. And I had to write a letter to an usher one time explaining my position on this. Because that's the way a lot of churches are, is that we separate. We have these programs and we have these classes and we're segregated instead of having everybody together. And that same thinking that the disciples had, that these are a distraction, they're a discouragement to people maybe, they're a nuisance, and that they can't understand anyway, is why they probably forbid and said, hey, you keep your children back. But Jesus said, forbid them not. And so can children learn? Can they understand? Can they praise? Can they pray? Can they sing? Can they do these things? I believe they can. Matthew 21, let's turn there. Matthew 21, verse 15. This is where I started talking about out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Look at Matthew 21, 15. You know, Jesus had went into the temple and cast out all those that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables. I mean, Jesus had just said, you know, don't make my house a house of merchandise. You've made it a den of thieves. The verse 15 says then, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. So who was calling out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David? It was children. And that displeased the chief priests and the scribes. And they said to Jesus, they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Do you hear these children saying, Hosanna to the Son of David? You know, make them be quiet. And he saith unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. So here were these children praising him, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. And he takes you back to Psalms and said, have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Now, there was perfect praise. God has perfected praise out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Now, a baby, we know what that is. A suckling would be one that's still nursing. I mean, we're talking young children. They can praise. They can praise perfectly. And we've all heard, you know, when children sing a hymn in church, and maybe they're not perfectly on key and they're not, does that bother anybody? If you hear a child singing, does that make you upset? No, we love it. You know, we like hearing young voices singing songs and praising God. And we don't care if it's a little off key. It makes us happy and it makes God happy. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. So can little children praise God? Yes, they can. Can little children understand Him? Yes, they can. So children can praise Him. Children can understand what's being said. Children can understand the gospel. Children can praise Him, and the Bible says, with perfect praise. And really, we ought to, you know, we get to be adults and we praise a little bit differently. Right? Rocky was up here. Rock was singing up here during the Christmas program, and he doesn't care what people, you know, he's singing out loud. And just, you know, we get up here, we care what people think. He's singing it out loud as he can, you know, and believing every word he's saying. And that's perfect praise to God. We can, as an adult, we can see how God could say, model yourself after a child. You know, and the sincerity and the enthusiasm that they have in worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. So I give to you that children can learn, children can praise, children can pray, children can come unto Jesus. Children can do these things. But a lot of churches, it's easy to see why they offer this a nursery during church. And it's a good selling point to advertise that we have a staffed nursery, fully staffed nursery. And so children 0 to 3 can go to a nursery. And in the nursery, I mean, maybe I'm not a nursery worker, but they're just trying to survive. You know, if you got kids there and their mom's not here and their dad's not here, and that might be the first time they got separation anxiety and they're crying and they're screaming and they're changing diapers. I mean, it has to be hectic in those places. Right? But the nursery workers are trying to survive. They're not there, you know, preparing a message for these little kids. A lot of times there's toys and there's things to play with that have nothing to do with the Bible. Just distract them. Keep them happy, keep them quiet so their parents can be in and learning. But it sets up to me the same kind of situation that the disciples had. The adults want to hear. This is for adults. This is so we can understand, so we can hear, so there's no distractions. Let's put the children in the nursery. You know, and the reasons would be that they're a distraction. The reasons would be that it gives the parents a break. The reasons would be that they're not going to learn anyway. You know, what can Kai learn? Would be the reasoning. But I think, I mean, babes and sucklings, that's pretty young. What Jesus said. The disciples thought there was a distraction, but Jesus said it was not. And I think that the staff nursery and the children's church, and you can send off your children as a parent. Sometimes that might feel pretty good, just to be able to say, "Oh, this is kind of like a date," you know. If we were able to send everybody away, it's just me and Ashley sitting in the pew, you know. It's, oh, look at this, and so it's a relief, and that's a selling point to have people come to a church. And I have no doubt that some people have came to this church and visited and left because, you know, we didn't have a staff nursery, we didn't have the children's programs, we didn't have the Sunday schools, we don't have all those things. But I think that's also can be part of a seeker-friendly type attitude, right? To where a church implements things and does things in order to attract unbelievers and make it, you know, easy and seamless and attractive to those that are seeking, to those that are looking. And I don't believe that's exactly the point of a church. I think the church is for believers. And that's a whole issue in itself. What is church for? Is it for believers, or is it a time that to bring in unbelievers and evangelize? And my view would be that we have 6 days that we are sent out in the mission field to evangelize, but when we come on the first day of the week, we come to glorify God, we come to grow in the Word, we come to praise Him as believers, as the saints of God. And this isn't a big service we're putting on trying to attract and trying to draw in those. I think that's during the weekend, and hopefully believers can come and they can grow in the Word of God. And that affects everything from, you know, what we do in programs, how we have children, to how I preach. If you're trying to just attract things, you wouldn't get into a sermon like this. You wouldn't get into a lot of things that maybe are controversial, maybe things that are deeper. But we as believers are to grow. We're not to stay as babes. We're to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, the Bible says in Acts. Right? And if we just stay on the simple things all the time in the same simple message, then we stagnate. Maybe the church is growing, but the believers in it are stagnating. We need to get and learn the Bible. So the whole, really, there's a big, you know, issue there. It's what do we do as church? What do we do when we come together as believers? In the Bible, you know, Paul would be on Saturdays in the synagogue preaching to the unbelievers and reasoning and arguing with that. But then it looks like on Sunday, those that believed on Jesus Christ came together for prayer, for the breaking of bread, and they were all in one accord on that first day of the week. And so that's why I strive to not just give milk, to not just, and not every day am I just going over the simple things of salvation. I think it's important, and if there was somebody here that I thought had never heard the gospel, no doubt I would give the gospel. I try to all the time. But we go farther than that as well. Hebrews 6 talks about, you know, going past these first things. And I liken it to a football coaching clinic. Like when I was a football coach, you would go to clinics, you know, in the off season, and you hear from other high school coaches, you hear from college coaches, you hear from pro coaches, and you go there, and you go because you want to learn more about the game of football. And if somebody just got up, every clinic was just getting up and just saying, well, this is a football, and the object of football is to try to score more points than the opponent, and started with the basic, simple things, and trying to sell us on why we should watch football or why we should coach football. We're already football coaches. We already love the game. We already understand it. We want to learn more. And a coach would never do that, because football coaching clinics are for football coaches, and they're so they can grow. And that's what I like in a church too. These are churches for Christians, and it's here to grow. It's not to try to sell you on becoming a Christian, because we are. Not to try to go over the first things again. It's to give us the meat. And so, that how we look at church orders everything. And how we look at church then from a children's point of view, that we can offer these different things in order to try to make it more palatable and more easier for other people to come in. But for us, if our rule is the Bible, Jesus said, you know, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not. And so I think it is biblical to have children in a service. I think there are strong reasons why we keep children with us. One of the first would be Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 1, and this will seem familiar once we get into this here. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And it goes on and says, you should bind them for a sign on your, you know, on your hand and between frontlets and your eyes, and write them all over your house. But in verse 7, it says, you should teach the law of God. We should teach the things of the Lord, teach them diligently to our children, and we shall talk of God, talk of his law when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up, at all times, right? We're to constantly have our children and to be talking all the time about the things of God. And that's what, you know, we try to do. As a father who is responsible before God for a family, it's a father's responsibility to teach his children day and night at all times and teach him about God, teach them about God. Not just at a devotion time, not just, you know, right before a meal at a prayer. It's all the time. We're to teach about God. And that's one of the reasons why we personally homeschool, is because we can then try to implement this and have our children around us, and we can teach them diligently at all times. Not that takes away a big chunk if they're at school, when they're under somebody else's authority and somebody else's guidance, somebody else is teaching them. And so I take that verse seriously. And say a father takes that seriously and takes it literally, and he wants their children with him, and they homeschool their children, they have their children with them. And they do that for 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And then it comes Sunday, and you go to a church. And that's the one time during the week that kids go to their Sunday school. They all go four or five different ways. Ashley goes to her ladies' Sunday school. I go to my men's Sunday school. And we just split up. In the church service, Ashley and I would sit and listen, and we'd have Kai in the nursery. We'd have other kids in children's church doing something. We don't know what they're being taught. We don't know, you know, we're not talking to them about it. So the only time during the week we would split up would be at church. The only time that we wouldn't have them when we're walking, when we're sitting, when we're rising down, when we're lying down, when we're doing these things, is at church. And I think that would be a little bit backwards. I would think at church, when we're actually with the family of God, would be a time that we can be with our children, and we could teach them diligently at that time. They can see us pray. They can see us come under the authority of the elders. They could see us sing. They could see us, you know, learn, and we could talk about these things instead of being split up all these different ways. And so I think, first of all, Deuteronomy 6 would say, you know, teach your children at all times. And I think one of those times would be during church. Another objection to this, another reason, an objection is that kids cannot learn. Right? Can kids sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? They can sing those things. I remember JC she was almost a suckling. I don't know what she was, but she was singing, you know, God and sinners reconciled. I mean, she was singing that early on. That was a Christmas carol or something like that. But kids can sing these things. They can learn those things, and those things get hidden in their heart. So kids can learn those things. Moses, he was raised by his parents through the time he was weaned. Only a short time his parents had him. And then he went to be with Pharaoh's daughter, and he grew up in all the learning and the wisdom of the Egyptians. But when he was old, he did not depart from the learning he had with just his parents during those few short years. So children, even sucklings, even babes, can learn a lot. They can grow a lot. They can be trained up even in that time. And so to say that children can't learn during a service, they're not old enough, they can't understand. We see Moses understood what he was taught as a young child. We see Jesus thought they were able to stay right there. We know that Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's what it says in 2 Timothy 3:15. And who taught Timothy? His grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, they taught him from a child. And so I think the Bible teaches that children can learn. And there's not a time that we say, well, we're just not going to teach anything because they can't learn until they get to be 8, until they're 9. Then we're going to teach them. I think we teach diligently from from the time they're a babe and a suckling on, because we know Jesus said that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Another thing about having your children with you in church is that we, as parents, can see our children's behavior and correct it. The Bible says the rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, if a child is in a nursery or is in somewhere, is that person in the nursery have a rod with them, spanking a child left and right? I wouldn't feel comfortable having my child with somebody in a nursery that I, you know, it's not me or my wife. And so we don't spank in nurseries. We don't have that. And so the child basically is left to themselves apart from us as parents. And so there's no corporal punishment. There's not a watchful eye like there would be as parents. So I think children being away at any time can bring a father to shame. We know that there's issues, and Ken Ham has talked about in books and stuff, and Answers to Genesis books like Already Gone, about how children, they grow up and they're a teenager and they leave the church. And trying to say, what is the issue with that? Why are these children leaving the church? What's going on? And we think of, you know, when I grew up, when many of us grew up, we had youth groups, right? We had children's church. We had Sunday school. We had these things where we were separated. And during church, I was separated from my parents most of the time. We did our own thing. They went to their Sunday school. I went to mine. I went to youth group. They did, you know, different things. Now, in a children's church, in those things, are they doing the same things that the adults are doing? No, it's different, right? It's tailored and it's made more for children in a children's church. They separate it out. They're not singing probably How Great Thou Art. They're not singing those things. They're singing like other songs that are fun, that are peppy, that have a little more, you know, beat to them. They're dancing around. They're doing all these other kind of things, right? And that's so that the children, you know, you got to get the energy out of them. You got to do these type of things. So they're doing all these other things. And then a lot of times children grow up from Bible-believing, fundamental churches, and they leave and they go to churches where there's a lot of, you know, music that's peppy and fast and drums beating. They're dancing around and doing things. And we say, why? Well, that's the way they kind of were brought up. Is it not? The church can play into this generation gap, and that children need to be taught one way, and this is the way you'll have your church service. You'll have a youth group room that is, we went to a church, we visited on a weekday, a few weeks ago for a homeschool thing, and their youth room downstairs was all black with the black lights, those purple lights, so everything was glowed, you know, and that was their youth room. And so, I mean, there's no way we would have church or we'd have an adult Sunday school in a black-lit room. But that's the way the youth group was. Why? Because it's cool, because it's neat. And so we wonder, why are these kids not following in the footsteps of their parents? But a lot of times it's because they're taught. We as churches are doing it. We're giving them a totally different church within a church, a totally different experience, and saying, you know, this isn't what you guys need. We know what you need. And this is what the old people do. This is what, you know, they're out of touch with you. And so we create that generation gap. We create these things by having these separate, segregated children's programs. And you know, that's part of the argument, is that they need another way of being taught. They're not going to listen to the same preaching. They're not going to sing the same song. And then we wonder why they're not going to the same churches. Why they're, you know, going another way. Thinking of children's churches, and this, when I say children's church, in many churches, you know, at a given time before I would get up to preach, we'd say, all right, children, you're dismissed to go to children's church. And all the kids would run out and they'd have somebody else. Who are they going to get to teach that? Probably anybody that they can, right? Because most people want to come, and they come to church, they want to grow, they want to listen, they want to hear the sermon. And so somebody's going to take that burden upon themselves and do it, right? Or they could hire a youth pastor. But if you're looking for somebody to lead children's church, what do you want? Get in the mindset of what, you know, just in the world, what we want. You want somebody that's young, that's got a lot of spunk, that's exciting, that's goofy, right? It's going to make the kids laugh. It's going to keep their attention. You want somebody, you know, that's not much different than the kids themselves, right? You probably want the most immature person in church. He's qualified to be a youth leader, right? That's kind of what we have. You don't see many youth pastors or those people that are 60 years old. The youth pastors are just out of college. They're immature themselves. And is that who we want teaching our children? know, that's who we get to teach them. So instead of listening, instead of Joseph, he would be in children's church somewhere. Instead of listening to somebody who's prepared a sermon, who the elders here think is qualified to give it, it's whoever can take the job. Just get them out of here so that we can focus. Right? And get them out of here so they can hear something along their own. And I think that's a worldly concept as well. Just, we need young. We need, you know, exciting. We need all these things. We need immature. The Bible never teaches that we get the immature person and teach the children. And so I think sometimes churches can contribute to the problem by taking the mindset about children from the world into the church. And so some churches can go halfway with this and say, we'll have a staff church, we'll have the children's church, but you do not have to take your kids there. And I'd say most churches are that way. And that seems like a good solution. Except for, what about the family that wants to keep their children with them? So you got children's church, all children are dismissed, and everybody leaves except Gail keeps Joseph right here. Right? And all the other children are doing something, they're having fun, they got, you know, the guy jumping around in a monkey suit or something. Right? And Joseph's here. What could that do to Joseph? Joseph, even though he maybe knows the reasons, it could create some bitterness in his heart. You know, why can't I go? Why can't I do that? And the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so we could, you know, even if the child understands, even it's never fun to be the one separated out and the one that can't do this, and you're segregated, you're not like the rest of them, and you can't have the fun, and you can't do these things. And so I don't even think that's the perfect solution. So I think really a church needs to think about these things, about what we do with children. And what we do with children here is not the norm, I would not say. Having them in Sunday school, having them in the church service. But it is on purpose. And I do think it is the way that Jesus would want it. I think it's the way that Jesus showed these things. I'm not saying that churches that don't do this, that they're terrible churches, but I'm saying there's a reason for this, and I think if we study this and look at it, I'm saying there's very good biblical reasons to have children with us. We want to really examine our attitude on children. Are they blessings or are they hindrances? Are they distractions? The disciples thought so. But Jesus said they weren't a distraction. He said, suffer to bring them to me. We know that children can be saved. Children can be saved probably easier than an adult. I think the longer you wait, the harder it is to be saved. The more baggage you bring, the more things you got to give up, the more things you have heard from the world. Jesus said, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I think there are many young children up in heaven right now, praising Him with perfect praise. And I think we got to be careful as a church on segregating. Oh, I don't think we'd want to separate dark skin from light skin, separate old from young, separate, you know, somebody that, well, this is a smart class, I don't think we need to separate anything. Because a Christian is a Christian is a Christian. There's not different classes of Christians. A believer is a believer. And I believe if we're teaching and preaching out of the Word of God, a child can understand. Pick up things. An adult can understand and pick up things. Not everybody's going to understand and pick up the whole sermon, but we're always getting some things out of it, and the Holy Spirit's convicting us. And if that child has the Holy Spirit, they're going to hear something, and they'll be convicted as well. I would say we're all part of the same family of God. And so, I want to just wrap this up here, that I think it's important for us to think about where we stand as a church and what we do with children. What our attitude is on that, and shape our church accordingly. So I think it's a big deal. And Jesus, it was important to Him. And so, let us think on that this week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that You would take this message and apply it to each of our lives. Lord, help us to think about the things that were written in the Bible. Think about Your attitude towards life, Your attitude towards all life. Help us to carry that into every facet of our lives, to not compartmentalize and that we can bring all things into the obedience of your will and obedience of your word. Lord, give our elders wisdom as they have to navigate different things on how we structure a church and how we do things. Because, Lord, we want to be true to your word. We also want to be wise. We want to not put stumbling blocks in front of people that they cannot come to church and they cannot grow. So, Lord, just give our elders wisdom and show us each how we can improve in loving children and having children come to us more than we are and following your example. Lord, I pray that we would all be able to go home safely and that we could have a week where we're out there in the world, in the mission field, and that we each can talk to others and represent you well this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.